I grew up in Cornwall in the United Kingdom, which if you look at a map of the United Kingdom is a little tiny bit right at the end that pokes into the sea. And Cornwall was very famous at one time for tin mining. So there were lots and lots and lots of tin mines scattered throughout the whole of Cornwall. And as you know, with any mine, you dig a shaft down and then you go along because you're trying to find the tin that's in the rock. And we were covered with these things in Cornwall. But what was not so well known is that these tin mines also had air vents. So these were smaller shafts, only a couple of feet by a couple of feet, that were bored down into the main shaft going along underneath so the air could get in and out. It allowed ventilation. Now, while all the mines in Cornwall were very well mapped, so everybody knew where they were and where all the tunnels went, unfortunately, the air vents weren't. And it could be very dangerous. A lot of them were covered with boards that rotted and that sort of thing. And there were nasty accidents. I remember as a child in the village that I live, which was in almost the centre of the industry, the road, one of the main roads coming into the village, actually collapsed into one of these holes and was shut for months while they had to dig it all out and fill it in and what have you. So the earth underneath could be very unstable. Now, my brother-in-law, who actually went to college to learn to become a miner, now runs his own business surveying areas if people are going to build. Because it's very important to know what you're building on. And Jesus used this illustration, and we're going to look at that this morning. So if you have your Bibles with you, if you'd like to turn to Matthew 7, 24, and I've got 27 on there, we might do 28 as well. So if you have your Bibles. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. This little story from Jesus comes right at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Many of you will know that in Matthew chapters 5, 6 and 7. Jesus went up onto a mountainside, and interestingly, he called his disciples to him. Now, there had been a great crowd following Jesus at this point, but he went up on a mountainside to get away from the crowd, and he called his disciples. So that the people that the Sermon on the Mount, as it became known, this great teaching that Jesus did on that mountainside, was to his disciples. Now, in the English dictionary, disciple is said to be the word follower or pupil. But it was so much more than that. It was someone who believed in that cause. So you can be a disciple of lots of different things, but these were his disciples. These were the ones that believed in his cause and followed him for that reason. And it's interesting because the first thing Jesus says, I think, is the person who hears these words of mine. Now, if you're sitting down on a mountainside listening to Jesus, you're hearing, aren't you? Well, are you? Many times Jesus says, to him that has ears, let him hear. We're not talking about just listening. We're talking about hearing. We're talking about the words coming into us and into our very hearts, our minds, and our souls. Just imagine being on that mountainside with Jesus. take out your Bibles during the week. It's your homework. I always give you a read the Sermon on the Mount. But you read it, sit down with him, and read it slowly. Let every time he says something, just stop and think about what he's saying. Let it come into your heart and change you, because it does. The words of Jesus change us. They really do. So let Jesus speak these into your heart. Hear what Jesus is saying. The things that Jesus was saying seemed hard, because back in Matthew 5, he says that not only all the laws taught by the Pharisees you must keep, but he goes beyond what they are saying. He came, he said, to fulfill the law, not to put it away. So, for example, in Matthew 5, verses 21 to 22, Jesus says, "You have heard it said to the people long ago, the law, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment." Likewise with adultery, Matthew 5, 27 to 28. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." And let me just start as a quick aside. Women are not excluded from that. It may say men, it applies just as much to women. Now, we may think, well, I've never murdered anyone. I couldn't even imagine doing it. I've been faithful to my partner all my life. But it's beyond that. Jesus looks at our hearts and he says, this is where the sin starts, in our minds and in our hearts, not in the actions is the result of it. So he's saying, I'm going to change your minds and your hearts. You will understand that anger is the beginning, if you like, of the sin. In another place it says, in your anger do not sin. So anger is the beginning. That's where it starts. Like adultery, it starts with a look. Just a look. But it's what's in here that's behind that look. That's where it starts. And then Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. It's not just about hearing, it's about doing. We need a change of heart. We need to be wise and build our lives. You'll notice all the songs. We're building our lives on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Jesus is our foundation. He is the solid rock on which we build. If you don't have solid foundations, I'm not a builder, but even I know that if you don't build on solid foundations, it's going to fall down. But what is lovely, it's not our foundation. It's Jesus we're building on. That's amazing. He's saying, build your life on me. You see, everything else is sand. Everything. Whether it's money, whether it's possessions, even relationships, they're all sand. And the biggest one of all, I believe, is religion. You can go to church every Sunday. You can sing all the songs and wave your arms in the air. You can even be baptized. But if you have not put your trust in Jesus Christ, you are building on sand. And it will crumble. Before Michael retired, he used to maintain swimming pools. And one morning, he was out on his round with his colleague, and they were up in the hills, and they drove between Peristrona and Canoestorm, one of the back roads, to do his usual maintenance of the swimming pool. And they get out the truck, and they go down the part of the hill, and the pool has disappeared. It has slid down the hill and was sitting in the road beneath it. It was a fiberglass one. Why? Because it was built on sand. Now, somebody told me, I don't know if it's true, Greek speakers may not, but somebody told me that canoosa means hill that moves. So I'd be careful building there anyway, I think. I've seen houses up there I can put my arm in the walls of the houses where they've actually started to come away. It's frightening, absolutely frightening. But it was built on sand. We need to build on solid rock, Jesus Christ. And then we need a cornerstone. Oh, we sang that this morning. This is a cornerstone, obviously. It sits in the corner of a building. And sometimes, like this one, they are a little bit different because it's a special stone. And they even have a ceremony where they lay the cornerstone in. Yes, all kinds of things. But the important thing with this stone is that if you get it wrong, everything else is out. If you don't set that stone correctly in the corner, the whole building is out. Again, I'm not a builder, but I can see that. So the cornerstone is the first stone, and it is essential for the whole integrity of the building. If that fails, everything fails. Good news! Jesus is the cornerstone. When we make him the cornerstone of our lives, our building can't fail. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that great news? You see, build your house. But if the foundations aren't right, if the cornerstone isn't right, it won't stand. We are building on the solid rock, which is Jesus Christ, and he is also the cornerstone. He's carrying the weight. Isn't that wonderful? We're not even carrying the weight of the building. He is. It's amazing news. So, we have our foundation. We have our cornerstone. How do we build our house? What do we need to build our house? Well, I think the first thing we need is faith. If we don't believe that Jesus is our foundation, if we don't believe that he's the cornerstone, we haven't built our house on anything. Well, we've built it on sand. Because if it's not built on him, everything else is sand. So the first thing we need is faith. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We need the building block of faith. Secondly, love. Not this kind of soppy love that you see in the films that everybody's so inclined about, but it's the kind of love that says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's love. The greatest love of all was when Jesus died on that cross for you and me. There is no greater love than a man lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus calls us his friends. But you see, we don't just have that love. In John 15:12-13, Jesus said, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. We can only do that if we are filled to overflowing with the love of God. because it is his love coming through us and then going out that we can love others. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, everything you have, and then love your neighbor as yourself. You cannot build unless you are building with love. The third layer, trust. In Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, you know it really, really well. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. Trusting in the Lord is a building block of our lives. You see, I believe when I read that verse, I thought I could see God as an architect of our lives, holding the blueprints. I have plans for you. These are the plans I have for you. Trust me for them. Trust me with the plans that I have for your life. It's a building block. Do we trust him completely? Totally? You know the answer to that question. But it is one of our building blocks of building our lives on Christ. And then fourthly, obedience. John 14, 15 says, if you love me, keep my commands. Remember that this story comes right at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is showing us what living as a Christian looks like. And then he says, if you love me, keep my commands. Let's get one thing clear, though. We don't keep his commands out of fear. Never. We keep his commands because we love and because we are loved. It's a relationship. It's always about a relationship. God has filled our hearts with so much love, so much so that we want to keep his commands, not because we have to, because we're afraid, because he's going to get out a big stick. He doesn't do that. He loves. Don't get me wrong, if you err, he will discipline. But it's always within the encompass of love. He loves you so, so much. And with obedience, one of the beautiful things about this house is you get such freedom. You get such freedom. You get freedom from fear, freedom from guilt and shame. They're all gone. This is a beautiful house. It's a beautiful house. But anything else is sand. In John 14, 23, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Then my Father will love them and we will come to them and make our home with them. You don't live in the house on your own. There are four of you in it. There is always you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Four of you live and dwell in a home. It's not a house, it's a home. It's a home where they are welcome, where you are welcome, where you are safe, secure, at peace. It's a place of such enormous safety, peace, tranquility. It's a beautiful place. But Jesus also said, storms are coming. Now, if you go back to the beginning of this, it says, the man who built his house on a rock, and the man who built his house on the sand, the rain came down, The streams rose and the winds blew and beat against the houses. And notice it's the same storm. As Christians, we are not exempt from the storms of life. And Jesus didn't say we would be. Remember, he said, in this world, you will have trouble. Not you might have. You will have trouble. We are not exempt from the storms of life. The difference is the house that stands on Jesus Christ stands. The house that is built on sand fell with a great crash. The house that is built on Jesus Christ stands. The house that is built on sand fell with a great crash. So, is your house built on Jesus Christ? Is your house built on rock? Or is your house built on sand? The great thing is that today, if your house is built on sand, you can move home. You can build a new house. You can build a house on the rock of Jesus Christ. You have to say no more to that life. I'm going to follow Jesus. He will be my rock. He will be my salvation. You can make that decision even today. Move house. Move out. Get onto a solid foundation with Jesus Christ. And you may think, well, at the end of the day, does all this really matter? Matthew 25 talks about the end times. Now, I'm not getting into a huge discussion about end times. But it's interesting that actually there will be one final enormous storm, effectively. And in Matthew 25, 31 to 46, I'm going to read this. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. You see, we're not supposed to just sit in our houses and think everything's going to be wonderful. The whole purpose of having Jesus Christ as our foundation and as our cornerstone and the Father, Son, Holy Spirit living with us is it transforms our lives. And a transformed life looks like something. And what it looks like is loving your neighbour as yourself. We go out. We love the people that other people don't love. We look after each other as we do. And I'm so thrilled with you all because you love each other so much. It's delightful to see. But that shows that Christ is in our lives. What Jesus is not saying here is that good works will get you into heaven. It's not what he's saying. He is saying that the sheep will be known because they have a transformed life. At the end storm, when Jesus separates, he will know the houses that are built on rock because everything else will have fallen. And you won't be able to hide on that day. you won't be able to get in amongst the sheep and think that I won't be noticed, because the shepherd knows his sheep. Let's make sure our lives are built on the rock of Jesus Christ. If he's not, you can do that today. Move house. We'll all help you. We don't mind moving people out of that house on sand and into the house on rock any day of the week. But he can do it. And if you do that today, then let us know and we'll pray for you and love you. Okay. I want to finish by giving you some time to just ponder and reflect on your house.